FYI, all you single guys, my emotional stage really isn't the greatest.
I believe there's a hero in all of us.
You have great powers, only some of which you have yet discovered.
I'm a superhero. I'm
a real-life superhero.
The world needs extraordinary. We'll make you a superhero.
Are you ready to become a hero?
Initiating surprise in three.
This.
Two.
Is.
One.
The Real Brian Show.
Oh my gosh, welcome to The Real Brian Show, the place to end your week on a positive note. Nerd out with us. Have fun! Yeah, you know, maybe you'll learn a few things to better your life. I mean, you probably will. And in general, of course, escape all of the negative crap around us because, frankly, I am freaking tired of all the negative stuff and negative conversation and the rants and everything else. Oh, and FYI, all you TR beasts, my emotional state is let's rock it.
I swear, like, I clearly you don't give me any, like, actual hints as to what
I'm never telling you what I'm going to play.
not once. I have, like, this little bitty note of this, like, two words. And every single time, I'm trying my hardest not to just, like, laugh out loud.
Me too. I was laughing silently. I had to mute my mic during that because
I am the real Brian.
Oh my gosh, that is one of my favorite quotes of all time, and it's a bad lip reading of Return of the Jedi when Mon Mothma comes up and she's saying many Bothans died to bring us this information. You remember that part? And they bad lip read, whatever you want to call it, say that five times fast. And they're just like, she's like, my emotional state. I try to hide what the quote is, which is why I literally wrote my emotional. Or sometimes yeah. I'll just write like emotion or something so that I don't even want anybody to know what quote I'm going to play.
Every single so time I'm like over here, just legitimately just holding it in my whole face is one huge grin. My cheeks are like pinched because they hurt so bad from smiling. I've got my lips clasped between my teeth so that I don't laugh out loud.
Bite your
cheek,
man.
Every single time.
Oh, that's so fun. I don't know. Sometimes you just got to throw stuff in there that just people are like, wait, what? What? Oh, man.
I mean, well, you do it every time. So congratulations.
Thank
you're
you.
The master.
Oh, my goodness. Well, K-Dubs, welcome back.
What's up?
Yeah. Oh.
I'm happy to be here.
Guess what?
What, Brian? What?
Y'all know what day it is?
Friday. Can you believe it's Friday already?
Thank God.
No.
And June. I mean, what happened to May, man? June. It's already happy June, by the way. My gosh.
Some of us over here are just excited to see the end of May-cember. So, hey, June, what are you doing? What's up, my friend?
May is one of my favorite months because it's the birthday month. And usually in Colorado, it signals the end of spring and the end of wind and the beginning of beautiful green trees and flowers and nice spring smells. But this year, no, we had to have hurricane force winds for the entire month assaulting our peaceful May existence. And I'm kind of frustrated because, you know, here we are in June and it's like, oh yeah, now it's 90. Thanks. We went from winter to winds to 90. Really?
Oh my gosh. Preach. Like, and okay. So here in Texas, it has been 90 and like 99% humidity.
Oh,
on top
wow.
of that. So you walk outside and it's literally like walking into a sauna and then
or a steam bath.
Mind you, your whole house is being baked,
it's
being like slow roasted baked, right?
Yeah.
So you've got, when you're in the house, you've got the air down because otherwise you're sweating. But if you walk outside, you are drenched in seconds.
Yeah.
Not from sweat, but from humidity. Like your whole body is drenched. And then you walk back inside and it's like, okay, well now I'm freezing. I walked into an ice box because I went outside, got hot and wet. That sounds really bad.
It really does. So like hot,
like,
wet
I'm
American
living
summer?
In a Def Leppard song right now.
That's
like
right. Poor.
That's what I'm living in.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking of cherry pie too, but that, never mind. We're going back to Def Leppard.
Pour some sugar on
me.
Me.
Yep. Yep.
Hot, sticky, and sweet.
Exactly. And then jump right back into the air conditioning and you're like, oh, she's as cold as ice.
Yes.
Wow.
Facts.
Oh, man. See, I feel like songs can just define your circumstances.
100%.
It's amazing. Time flies, and then and I'm talking with Captain Influence, and all of a sudden I'm like, we didn't talk about Memorial Day. Oh my gosh. We got together with some friends, and some of our friends have cool kids, and by cool kids, like they're, you know, sometimes teenagers are angsty or trash pandas, like you call your kids, you know, I mean, of course, I bet your kids are really awesome. I've never met them.
So they're pretty cool, but I'm not going to lie. I hear the word teenager and I very much cringe in some ways just because we will get back to we're going to come back to it. You've got a beautiful story to share, but I have to tell you, one of my 5-year-old twin daughters, she has like the most attitude. She is 100,000 bajillion percent the kid that's like 5 going on 16. She walks in with attitude. She exudes attitude without even opening her mouth. Just the way that she handles her body is filled with attitude. And then people say the word teenager and I'm like, no.
Maybe she'll grow out of it. Let's hope. Well, I know. And you know, you've got those, when the hormones are kicking in, you know, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
My emotional state really isn't the greatest. It's just, that is the teenage years. I don't know, but these teenagers are cool. And so they're having this outdoor kind of Memorial Day thing. And so some of the kids are like, dude, we got to blow up a watermelon. I'm like, sweet, with like M80s and dry ice bombs. And they're like, no, rubber bands. And I'm like, oh, that was kind of disappointing actually, because I'm all about explosives. But you know, I did tell them that if you create a dry ice bomb, that is now an act of terrorism. So don't do it.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. We did it back in the day when it wasn't considered that. And also we were up in the mountains where there was literally no one else around. So we were being super safe with it. Well, you know, as safe as you can be with explosives. But anyway.
Say, what part of that conversation had anything to do with safety?
We literally should like...
Did you wear gloves?
We were marketing safe explosives. That's an oxymoron, people. Anyway, it was fun, but good times, man. We were blowing pumpkins up back in the day, but man, those things exploded. I mean, it was like ground zero where these things exploded. Watermelon, on the other hand, it's the poundage pressure of rubber bands, and they had to put on, I think, 2 pounds of rubber bands, and then it squeezes it and then it explodes and everything else. But okay, there's a whole lot going on there. So we're talking about that. And what was hilarious was the watermelon kind of explodes, but it's not that magnificent, but it was really cool. It was really fun. And I thought, well, this is a good time. And one of the kids was like, that's it? It was really cool though. Well, then I think the most incredible part was that those 2 pounds of rubber bands, when they exploded, all came together and created a rubber band ball. Perfectly formed. And we were like,
oh my
what?
Gosh,
that was amazing. Well, then we grabbed it and we're like, let's throw it back and forth to each other. And it had watermelon stuff all over it. And so it became sticky rubber band ball. And we're like, this is getting gross. And we're throwing things and everything else. So then we're having like this, dude, we should come up with it. Like, we're thinking band names here. And we're like, there you go. That's the name of the band, Sticky Rubber Band Ball. Like, this is amazing. And then we're like, if watermelons could talk, because when it was opening up, you know, to get ready to explode, it looked like a mouth. And so I was like, whoa. But anyway, that's a song name. You know, we got all this stuff, right? So then they said, we should start a YouTube channel, dude. We'll call it Sticky Rubber Band Ball. And then we took it and drew a little face on it, because it, based on the shape of the rubber bands, made it look like it was an angry rubber band ball. So we drew a little face on it, took pictures. We got our mascot. I mean, it's like ready to go. But then we were like, okay, everybody needs like a personality here. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm obviously the one who's like all over the place. And they're like, no, you're the one who says all of the colloquial phrases are all wrong. Okay, that'll be awesome. And then one of the other ones is like, he's the strong silent type, you know, where he has literally no expression and he doesn't ever talk. But then his brother translates like, oh my gosh, he is so excited right now. You have no idea. Like literally zero emotion.
You're kidding me.
No, this is going to be like, this is great. And then one of the girls is like, I'm going to be the British Karen. And she's like, I talk, you don't. Every time somebody gets on, I talk, you don't.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, this is going to be so funny. So then I'm like, well, if you go to a coffee, and I'm telling her this, go to a coffee shop, go to a Starbucks, whatever. Barista walks up. Hi, welcome in. What can I talk, you don't. Constantly interrupt the barista.
But film it.
Oh my gosh. And then I thought, you know, we did this years ago where you were supposed to go to a coffee shop and when they say, can I get a name for your order? And everybody's always like, you know, Brian or what, or Kayla. But it's like, come up with something ridiculous. And so one of the, we had two names, and one was Bubble Guppy, which I don't even know where that came from. And the other one is Giant.
It's a show.
Is it? See, that's
the Bubble Guppies are a kid's show.
Okay. She was talking about this and she's like, Bubble Guppies. I'm like, what the heck is a Bubble Guppy? And she's like, it's a kid's show. I'm like, I think I'll pass, but anyway.
I don't hate it, but I don't like it either.
Yeah. Here's another great name you can use when you walk in: Giant Uncut Grass Blade. So when they actually call out your order, there you go. Giant Uncut Grass Blade. And then of course, Corpse
that
Flower.
Sounds like if somebody says it too fast, they're going to slip up. It's going to be a problem.
I feel like people need to just kind of have a little bit of excitement in their lives in a good way. Not bad excitement, you know, positive.
No, good, positive
fun.
Excitement.
Yeah. Or you could just walk up when the barista is like, hey, welcome in. Can I get your order? You could be like, FYI, my emotional state really isn't the greatest.
Sorry. Hey, welcome in. Can I get your order? Made me immediately think, welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
I'm thinking of Better Off Dead. It's like, everybody wants some. Hey, Meyer. Rare. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, there you go. It was so much fun. And I don't know if we're actually going to truly create this YouTube channel, because I have a strong concern for minors creating YouTube channels, and they're all under 18. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm going to let your parents talk about this one, because I don't know. Minors and YouTube, I think, don't always mix.
I mean, I guess it kind of depends, because I have a friend who his son, I think, is the same as, I think he's the same age as Ethan, and which would be 9, 10 in that realm. And him and a bunch of his friends are now doing like live streams, but they're putting it on YouTube. They're creating a YouTube channel of them gaming.
Nice.
And I mean, in some ways, like I guess technically on a live stream, you can still have your image there, but you can also just have an avatar. So I think it would kind of depend on what you're doing with the content that you're creating. However, I would totally watch this YouTube channel. Just want to throw that up.
No, I mean, it would be amazing, and it would just be kind of that crazy fun. I think I'm more concerned for them, just because.
Yeah, no, for 100%.
And like, I almost feel like you should turn comments off, because anybody that throws something out there, I mean, their brains are still forming. I mean, the girl's, 12, almost 13 years old. It's like, dude, if she hears like a really horrible, mean comment, I don't know how it's going to affect her. Probably not well, you know, but it's just like, I kind of feel like there needs to be some nice layers of protection, you know, around people. I mean, there should be over anybody that's creating any kind of content, in my opinion. But also, I feel like when you're still in your formative years, it's like, that's really got to be a level of protection and stuff, because, you know, people can just be mean. And that's more my concern, is people are just mean. That's it.
You know what gets me? Like, social media has how much filtering and how much that they suppress, they don't allow, I mean, we're in an election year. Let's get real. We all know that social media suppresses messaging, right?
Oh, yeah.
Why can they not use the same concept to suppress hate messages? I don't understand why, like, you're able to keep people's opinions, just opinions, no hate involved, just, I think the sky is red today. Nope, I fact checked that. It's wrong. I'm taking it off. Like, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. It happens to both sides, right? So why can't that same thing be applied to hate comments and things like that? Why? Yeah.
Why can it not be applied? I do not understand.
I don't understand. Like, the same thing, we can use AI for so much, right?
Yeah.
How is it that you can't program AI to comb through and find certain like words, phrases that are typically used in hate comments? Granted, we're humans and we're going to get smart and use asterisks and all the other things to make sure that it makes it past the spam filter or whatever. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of stuff could be caught.
Yeah, I agree personally. With you. Okay, speaking of AI, this blew my mind. So the mad scientist, who has not been on in a while, by the way, mad scientist, I'm going to be seeing him in person here soon. But anyway, he is a doctor now, by the way. He just finished up his fellowship, for those of you who have not heard from him in a while. And now he's working into his full year as a real doctor now coming up. So anyway, he's a musician. He's an amazing drummer. And he was experimenting with AI, but in music, because you're right. So if I just want you to hear something, because if AI can produce what I'm about to play for you here, it can do exactly what you just said. It can. Check this out. So apparently for every 20 horrible AI song creations, by the way, he's going in and saying, hey, AI, create a song that da 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 da, right? And there's a lot of plagiarism that goes on because, hey, it's just taking from whatever. But for every 20, there's something as magnificent as this. This is incredible. This is purely AI created.
What?
Isn't this amazing?
Yeah, but it also kind of sounds like something I've heard about a million times over. However,
he was saying that. He was like, does it sound like somebody? I'm like, it does. It sounds a lot like the Birthday Massacre, in my opinion. But
it has some old school Evanescence vibes to it with some Skrillex. Not Skrillex. I don't remember.
The problem is with this is that that's kind of what it's doing, is it's taking concepts from different artists.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, that's pretty amazing.
Either way, it still sounds good.
Yeah. And so I was asking him, like,
entire song that way.
Could you take elements from that and like drop them in individualized or localized tracks, isolated tracks? That's what I'm looking for. And then, go through and like tweak stuff to make it a little less common and a little bit more personal, but just use it more as an inspiration and as sort of a starting point. So anyway, he's working on that right now, but I just thought that was really cool. But I'm thinking like, man, AI can do that. Then yeah, they can definitely take out, you know, the, hey, you suck and somebody beat you with the ugly, your car is uglier than I am. Those kind of comments.
you would think that it's possible. I'm just saying, like, can we use this stuff for good rather than evil?
Yeah.
Let's just do that.
Oh, speaking of amazing rock, I just want to really quickly share this one song here. Are you familiar with Baby Metal? The band?
Is this a band or is this a genre?
It's a band. Okay. It's a Japanese band, actually.
I'm not, but I've been really into learning about some new music lately. I had some of my own. And I love rock. So let's do it.
Okay. I'm not going to play it because of, copyright stuff. Well, technically you probably could, whatever, right?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Cramp. But I'm going to tell you, check out Baby Metal. It's a Japanese, the three front runners are girls. I don't know what the rest of the band is because you don't ever really see them, but maybe it's all three. I don't know. Anyway, they're newer to me, but they're incredibly popular now. And it's a Japanese metal band and it is amazing. And these girls can sing and they can rock. And
they're like babies.
But then there's this like other band called Electric Callboy, which I've never heard of. But again, Mad Scientist introduced me and they did a duo thing here. It was Baby Metal and Electric Callboy. And the song is called Ratatatata. Literally spelled out that way too. Ratatatata. I listened to this and I was like, whoa, this is good. Just throwing that
I'm
out.
Totally gonna have to check it out. Yeah, they're 20, 21, 20. I think the oldest one is 26.
Okay, cool. Well, that's
babies. Great. They're babies. That's what they are.
Hence the baby metal. Oh, there you go. Booyah. All right. So what about your music?
Sticking with Koreans and all things Koreans. Well, I have not really been like super into K-pop. I've heard K-pop songs, obviously, because they play on the radio. But I don't even know how I found them. And they've been around for a while, so I'm super late to this train. But a band called, or I guess a group, they're not a band, they're not playing instruments, a group called Stray Kids. And they have a song, it's called Venom. And the way it starts is just like, it is just fire. And my kids make me listen to it on repeat now. So I'm starting to get, remember back in the day whenever you like the radio would legitimately ruin a song for you because it would play every hour.
Totally.
I'm there. I'm almost there with this particular song, but it's okay because they have a bunch of other ones that I also like. But this group is good. They're really good. They're great dancers. And apparently, like I said, apparently I'm late to the show. They've been around for a while, but they have a new song coming out and I really like the new song too. But this one particular song, it's just it's rocky and grungy and they've got rap in there and it's just, I like it.
I love it.
Oh, I already said it's Venom. It's called Venom.
Venom. I'm going to check
that one in Maniac. But one of their group members has like the deepest voice, like literally comes in like Maniac. And I'm nice. Just like, whoa.
Yo, okay? Maniac.
And he sings like that. I was just, and he's like, I think 5'7", 5'8".
Oh, nice.
Asian boy.
Yeah. So it's like this little tiny guy.
And
he's
with
like,
that voice. And I'm just like, okay. But it gives the songs like a lot of dynamic that you don't really get, I think, in a lot of K-pop groups. Yeah. Really a lot of groups in general, unless you're looking at rock. Because you don't get a lot of that really deep bass. Even in for things like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and stuff like that, they didn't have somebody that had like a really good deep bass. And I think it really creates a dynamic sound.
I mean, Boys to Men did.
Well,
dude could get low.
Yeah, he really could.
But yeah. Okay, I'm checking this out. So we've got those. We're going to go with those three songs right there as our little suggestions of the week to check out. And it's in the TRBS 2024 Spotify mix. If you want to grab those, subscribe to it, and or just go and put it into your own little music thing and have a little good time. But you know what else? So, okay, talking about being late to the show here, like literally being late to this show. Have you ever heard of or watched Mythic Quest?
No.
How did I not know about this show?
Curious though, because it sounds like a video game.
Yeah, that's what it's about. So it came out in 2020, right before the pandemic. That was season one. And then they've had three seasons now. And I think there's a fourth one that they're supposed to do, but there's nothing, you know, specific about that. Anyway, I thought, okay, this is literally a show about a video game company that is making video games and just kind of the insanity of it all. Danny Pudi is in it, you know, who plays Abed on Community. And it has a community-ish feel. F. Murray Abraham is in it. Oh my gosh, he's awesome. There's others that are in there that I've seen them around, but I don't know them very well. But oh my gosh, I started and I thought, okay, the first episode, you know, it was fun. It was engaging, but you could tell like they're kind of learning their chemistry, you know, as actors. Uh-huh. And then like, as the season goes on, it gets more and more tight, more and more chemistry going on. And then they do this random episode. That's a 25-year flashback, I think. Which is really weird because it comes out of nowhere and you're like, what is going on right now? But wow, that was one of the best episodes of the season. It was just so touching and moving and really, really well done and all that. It's more of a comedy though. It's a kind of an irreverent comedy, which is really funny too. And then it goes back to present day and all that. Well, what's interesting is that everything was filmed and came out in February of 2020 and it was a 9 episode and it was clearly an end of the season, you know, on the 9th episode. But then the 10th episode was called Quarantine. And it was like right after the pandemic and it was basically an entire episode of them all like on Zoom and stuff. That was their own little like internal thing. And I was like, it was so good that episode. And then the final episode, I was like, this is amazing. How did I freaking not know about this show?
Well, now I want to watch it, but I don't want to pay for Apple TV.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and by the way, language warning for any of those with, you know, kids in earshot and also if you're, you know, sensitive to that, but it's just, it's funny. It's well done. And the chemistry just gets better and better as the season goes on. It's really interesting to watch, but 25-minute episodes. So short episodes.
Yeah. What's super upsetting about this is I literally just went through all of my streaming platforms and was like, for instance, I love Discovery Plus, but I wasn't really watching it. So I was like, you know what? I've probably watched enough seasons of Mysteries of the Abandoned that I could just like set this one aside for now. I did that with that. I think I got rid of Hulu. Like right now we've got Disney Kids, obviously. And we've got Netflix and that's like it. And now I'm sitting here like, oh wait, there's a show on Peacock that I want to watch. There's a show on Apple TV I want to watch. There's Paramount Plus. On Hulu. Yeah. Now I'm in my little K-drama phase. I need to get Vicky Pass because they've got a bunch of really good looking K-dramas that I want to watch on there. I just got rid of all of these. I don't want them back. Come on.
It's out of control.
I need the streaming wars to end. Just everybody stream everything. Stop trying to make so much money.
It's gotten crazy because everybody, of course, left cable to go to streaming. And, you know, it was really fun back in the day. But yeah, it is. It's a cash grab now.
Yes.
Like, stop doing that. Like, there's just no reason
for
that.
Because then that whole season to season thing, well, where's it at? Where's it at now?
I know.
Like, Alone. Alone is another one that my husband and I really like to watch. And you can watch Alone on the History Channel, but you can't watch all of the seasons. And then it's also on, like, which was in the Disney Plus package. Discovery Plus package. It's also on another streaming platform. And that was like season one and the last season. I was like, what is happening? Just pick one. And then you get on these monthly subscriptions and you don't really remember that they're coming out or that you're paying for them. And if you use them or not, it doesn't matter because you're just sitting here like, oh, hey, I got charged for that again. Oh, well. And move along because you forget to freaking unsubscribe.
I know. Well, and usually they'll send you reminders, but sometimes they don't. I was like, what?
LinkedIn did that to me. I was on LinkedIn Learning for last year and I'd planned to unsubscribe or stop the subscription or whatever. And it was like $380 just popped out. And I was like, excuse you, where was my reminder? Because I totally meant to like cancel this.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. So now it's canceled, but I have it for another year because that's the other thing. Once it comes out, they don't give you your money back. They just give you the time that you've paid for. Congratulations, you've got another year. It'll be canceled in 2025.
Sometimes they're nice about that. I had an accidental charge once that I thought I had canceled and it didn't. And I contacted them like the next day and was like, whoa, this was a total mistake. And they said, oh, okay, cool. We'll refund you and cancel everything. They were really nice about it. It was like within a day.
I always see it, say, man, that sucks. And then let it wait like a month. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I really need to cancel that. You think I could get my money back? And they're like, absolutely not.
Yeah, it was a little too late now.
You can't do that.
I hear you. Oh, my gosh.
Well, this is what procrastination gets you.
You see, there's a difference between procrastination and batching. Batching is good. Procrastination is not.
So true.
I was thinking about
procrastination in advance of the deadline is okay. Procrastination after the deadline is passed is a problem.
I was talking to Sarah about this because we were talking about like trying to do, what if we just like a little bit here and there every day? And then I was like, that is so annoying because you're like, okay, we're going to spend an hour doing all these little piddly things. And are we really making much of a dent? No. What if we took those days off and didn't do any of that stuff and then saved it for one day and then just did one giant batch work on it and just get a bunch done. But then we've gotten all that rest involved. So now we're trying to decide, like, is it better or worse to do it that way? And I'm starting to very much advocate for batch within reason. So like somebody might say
one area that this does not apply, laundry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, no, laundry doesn't work. I get you. Cause you can't, that makes sense.
If I take a day off of doing a load of laundry, that one day spawns into three loads of laundry. I don't know how one day turns into 3 days of laundry, but it does. And so I have to do like a load every single day. And if I don't, it turns into this massive, gargantuan, monumental task that I do not want to take on. At which point I'm like, sorry, guys. Gonna have to figure out how to put on that three sizes too small shirt we just happen to still have.
Yeah, or turn it inside out.
just take the sleeves off of it. Make it a cutoff. It's fine. Everything's fine.
So I think about, you know, when I was a kid and I used to keep my room clean because it was just easier to keep clean than try to clean up a giant mess. But that's different. You weren't doing it every day. You just kept it clean. You know, you got something out, you put it away. That was easy. But my friends would not do that. And they would have literally the alluvial fan coming out of their closet. And I'm not kidding when I said it was a geological formation. It was amazing. And they're like, well, we're going to go clean it. Well, it took them 2 full days. And I'm like, okay, that would have been a lot easier if you'd just done a little bit at a time. So
yeah,
I think some things don't apply, but some things do. I don't know.
I totally had a cheat code for that whole cleaning up your room thing. And it was called
the closet.
Make it dirty enough that mom wants to do it for you.
Oh.
And then when she comes through with the trash bag, because she said, I'm going to throw away anything that's on the floor, you only leave on the floor the things that you didn't want in the first place. And interesting. So you didn't have to clean it up. You got rid of all of the clutter and you... Granted, the first time this happened, I was not wise to the fact that my mom was actually going to throw away my stuff. So
interesting.
The first time I lost things I wanted. Now the second time, however, I was like, cheat code unlocked. Only things that I didn't want were on the floor.
I got a great solution to that is that just literally lock your kids out of their room and bar their doors so that they have no more access to their bed or their stuff. And they are just sleeping out on the floor from here on out.
See, this would work. This would work great if one of my kids was not still sleeping in my bed and two of my kids, rather than sleeping in their beds, they're sleeping in the guest room.
What?
And the one who actually goes to sleep in his own bed keeps his room clean. And the only reason his room is not clean is if his siblings came in and destroyed his room while he wasn't there.
So it's their fault.
Okay. And they don't have their toys and stuff in their rooms. We have like a play area. The play area then descends upon the entire house. So actually, I think it was this past week. I'm so over stuff. Like I can't even tell you how much I'm over stuff, but I had the kids, like I literally asked them, I was like, hey, I'm going to need y'all to get your stuff picked up. If it's on the floor tomorrow morning, it's going in the trash. And I kid you not, I went through and I picked up, there are some things that I like, this goes to this set. I will put it back with the set because it goes to the set. I'm not going to take the whole set. The whole rest of the set was put away except this one piece. All the things that I picked up, they have not asked a single thing about it.
Oh, weird.
Not one word about any of the toys that I picked up. And I'm like, okay, clearly you did not need these things. They're just here because, and they don't even use them, which granted, I guess this goes into creativity, but they don't even use them for like what they're for. Mm. Like the Barbie closet turns into a jewelry box for their American Girl doll.
Okay.
Or it turns into a treasure chest for some random game that they've created, which I'm perfectly fine with those cool. things. I'm fine with them being creative, but put your stuff back away.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing though? How in general, we all have so much stuff. And then you start to, if you really start to pay attention, you realize I haven't touched that, used it, or even remembered that in a long time. Usually I remember everything that I have and I go, oh man, shoot, I meant to use this and it got kind of stuck in the back and got lost. And I was wondering where it was, but a lot of times you just kind of go, do you really? But we got to a point where we just kept accumulating things and people would give us things and everything else. And then we're like, okay, well, we're moving back to a smaller space. And so we had to downsize about 75% of our stuff. And it was just kind of like, it's amazing what you can survive on. And even then, we've downsized, but even then right now, it's like, man, we could go through and kind of do a little bit more. And yeah, I know Sarah's come on, please, let's do it. But even clothes, it's like, did you need all these clothes?
And so many clothes.
I know, and like, I've got all these clothes.
Real value like, in a capsule wardrobe is all I've got to say. In fact, that's probably the majority of my actual wardrobe is essentially podcast conference t-shirts and leggings and or like long biker shorts. That's how I live my life. But I don't really care to have much more than that. Like even if I'm going out, I put on a pair of jeans and like a t-shirt that's a solid.
Yeah.
I'm not now, nor have I ever been the person who likes to like get dressed up to go out on a date night. Anytime I do more than put on a pair of leggings, my husband's like, why do you look so nice? And I'm just like, I put on a pair of jeans. And he's like, I know, what are you doing now? Like, what's so happening? Funny. Where are we going? What do you have planned? It makes me laugh every single time. I'm like, man, the standards are so low. Like, I see girls going out in like dresses and skirts, makeup all done, hair all done, which I was blessed in the hair department. All I really have to do is wash it and then it gets this like wavy thing going on.
Nice.
And because I had such terrible cystic acne whenever I was actually like late teens, early 20s, like it was so bad that I don't really like to put anything on my face because it was just so painful back then. And people ask me all the time, are you sure you don't want to like cover it up? I'm like, absolutely not. I want nothing touching my face right now. It hurts so bad.
Yeah.
I don't really like to wear a whole lot of makeup either. Like at most, I'm wearing mascara, eyeliner, and like a brow pencil. And that's it. Maybe I'll put on some blush if I look super pale that day. All it takes is putting on some mascara. And my husband's like, wait, what are you doing today? Like, what's going on? You look like you actually tried. It's so funny to me.
You know, I'm kind of in the same boat though with like scents or hair care kind of stuff. So like I've got I was blessed with the Afro hair kind of thing. So it looks like a lion's mane, you know, it just kind of,
that's poof. My husband's hair.
I used to do all the sprays and all that just to kind of make it look like it looks nice and presentable and stuff like that. And then same with like, you know, you'd wear the cologne and I like to wear cologne, you know, but the problem is that every time I would do that or spray something in my hair, my eyes would not only burn, but it would literally feel like I had glass shards in my eyes, not only for the rest of the day, but all throughout that night while sleeping. And I was just
that's terrible.
I can't do that. And part of it's because of contacts, because the soft contacts just soak in anything. Even if there's like chemicals in the room. So like I go get a haircut, they'll spray nothing on me, just water. And the chemicals just in the building itself will cause that same reaction. And I'm just like, I can't do this. So I got to the point where I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't wear cologne. I can't do any of that stuff. I don't put anything in my hair anymore. But I figured out that if I can blow dry it just right, then it stays. It doesn't look as good, but it still stays. And I'm like, it's good enough.
So have you tried like pomades and stuff instead?
Doesn't work. The pomades, because of the chemicals, it's still, I tried that. I tried like
it still does it?
Yeah, the pomades they're better. It's not as many glass shards, but it's still there.
That's insanity. It's frustrating. You have really sensitive eyes.
And neck too. So there's this, I think I brought this up on the show a long time ago, but there's this thing called the highly sensitive person. And this woman wrote about it and she classifies them as HSPs. I know I've talked about it on the show a long time ago, but I took the quiz for it or whatever. And it was like, I think it was out of 20. I think it's what the questions and all. And if it was like, if you score a 13 or higher, you're a highly sensitive person. And I think I scored like a 19 out of 20. And I was like, oh my gosh, but there's a lot of cool blessings to that. But they were saying that like parts of your body, for example, so like my neck and my eyes will be extremely sensitive. And so you just can't do certain things. And like, I can't wear certain fabrics or my neck will turn full red and that's like crazy. Break out in like this massive, it's almost like hives almost. It's really bad. So I have to wear certain fabrics and can't wear ties very much anymore because of that. It's just crazy. But I'm like, wow. Whatever, it's what it is. So I'm just going to be comfortable.
Yeah. Comfort over fashion all day, every day. But if it's comfortable fashion, that's cool too.
See, that's what I shoot for. I was looking for nice dress shoes and I am size 14, AAA narrow. So it literally looks like a ski.
Oh my God.
They don't make men's shoes to fit that kind of a foot. It just doesn't exist. And so they were like trying to fit me in Chelsea boots and other, you know, kind of nice boots and stuff. But they were so freaking wide that like when I walked, my foot would slide to the left, slide to the right, slide forward, slide back. I mean, it was literally just, it hurt so bad. And the woman literally said this, sometimes you just got to be in pain in order to look good. And I was like, I kind of don't agree with this, you know? And she's like, oh no, honey, you need to do that, you know? And my PT is sitting here going, you only have one set of feet. And once you injure them and you start having problems, like then you're living with that pain for the rest of your life. Like, trust me, comfort and support far exceeds any kind of potential fashion. I don't care if you have to wear tennis shoes with your suit. That's what you're doing. I was like, brilliant, man. And now so everybody's doing it. It's so funny. The last conference we were at, everybody literally is walking around in these suits and these full on like sneakers or, you know, Under Armour shoes or, I mean, it was just like super awesome, whatever kind of athletic shoe you wear that you're comfortable with. And I was just like, awesome. People got wise.
Yeah. That's so true though. Like your feet, when it comes down to it, people ignore their feet so bad.
Oh yeah. And then we have pain forever.
They can literally be the source of so much of the rest of your body pain.
Yep.
Once you have injured your feet, there's not really going back. Like my mom, she was riding her bike when she was like 8 or 9 and her foot got tangled up in the chain somehow and rolled into the gears and she broke the top of her foot. And she still to this day has trouble with that foot because like even though it healed, she still like has problems with that foot and that side of her body. Her hip, her knee. I mean, granted, she's got 2 brand new hips and she's working on getting 2 brand new knees. But at the same time, like her lower back on that side is always tighter. Her shoulder on that side is always tighter. Is always that side is significantly worse.
Yeah. After she gets her knee replacements, if she starts walking up to you and shows you a picture and says, have you seen this boy? Be very concerned because she's become a Terminator thing, man. When I got my surgery and they damaged my sciatic nerve and you know, that's been 10 years ago now. Just walking around doing my stuff. I don't walk the same. I can't physically do it. I don't have brain signal down to certain muscles anymore. And so I do have a bit of a limp and I'm always trying to compensate. But as a result, my lower body, my knees and my feet continue to get worse and worse. And there's just not much I can do about it. I try to, you know, Pilates helps, but unfortunately the structure of the body is just not fully functional anymore because of that. Thanks that surgeon. But anyway, it's like, I can't stand for more than about 20, 30 minutes typically. And then it literally feels like somebody is shattering my heels and then stabbing me in the back and my knees at the same time. And then walking for more than about 30 to 40 minutes is the same feeling. And it's just like, it's excruciating pain. And I'm like, but I keep pushing through it. Cause I'm like, I will not be an invalid. I will not be, you know, resorting to sitting around all the time and getting fat. Like I won't do it. I'm going to push myself, but also got to be like, okay, I can only take so much pain before I got to sit and rest, you know, it's frustrating. Yeah, you got to take care of your body and your feet and just, I mean, come on. And if you're wearing high heels, I'm sorry, stop, please.
I mean, they look every nice, once but in a while, it's stop. Okay.
Well, if it's like once in a blue moon, you know, but I'm
but
like,
not like every single day going to the office, wearing suits with high heels.
Please take care of your feet. Just please do it. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Facts.
Okay. Really quickly, I have to hear about this because you talked about this and right before we got on the mic to record and you're like, never mind, I got to save it for the show. But I want to know what it is. You talked about social batteries. I'm like, what is this?
I got off work early at the big job and then I took off Tuesday at the big job, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take my, we get a mental health day for May.
Nice.
And I decided to take it. And I'm like, all weekend, I had this whole issue of like, just, I'm just exhausted. It's just what it is. I'm exhausted from school. I'm exhausted from baseball. I'm exhausted from working. I'm exhausted in life. I'm exhausted just in general. Right. So all weekend, I did like nothing. But I still felt so exhausted and I could not figure out why. And then Tuesday came, no kids in the house, no husband in the house. The house is completely empty, completely quiet. Spent the whole morning just scrolling on social, which is not how I intended to spend the morning, but that's what ended up happening. Got some editing done, like I did some stuff, right? And then I realized that this day has been more energetically like uplifting than the whole rest of the weekend. And I was talking about social batteries because I don't have, my social batteries are like extremely small now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why this came up for me over the weekend, but I literally like can now only spend such a small amount of time with people. And then I realized that I am constantly around people. This is why my social batteries are never freaking charged because I have a bunch of little tiny humans around me all the time. Yeah. And we have talked about this. I'm an only child. You're an only child. You probably get this, but I like have to have true alone time to feel like I'm getting rest. It is only like now that the baby is, he's almost three. And it's only now that I'm like, oh, I know why I don't rest anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've spent the last 9 years with kids in my bed, kids in my room, and I love it. Like I'm not actually mad about it. It's just that I don't sleep. Even when I'm sleeping, I don't sleep. And then I also realize because I feel like I'm very much in a burnt out state.
Oh yeah.
And it just keeps being brought back up to me in different ways, which it's not a great place to be, but it's also just kind of is what it is right now. I don't have there's not a way for me to take the space, the true space that I would need to de-burn out. So I'm managing where I'm at, if that makes sense. I'm doing what I can to manage where I'm at until I can get to a state in which I can take a true break. Because it just is what it is. I've got four little kids. I can't go and just take a week away from my kids. And the last time I did that, I went on a cruise with my mom and one of my very best friends, but then I'm on a cruise. I wasn't recharging my social batteries then either because I was constantly around people.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what it really means to be an introvert. This right here, that's what we were talking about. We were talking about introversion and me being an extreme introvert. I really am. I'm so unbelievably introverted. And then it pops up on a weekend like this and I'm just like, yep. Introversion is from all people. It doesn't matter if I created those people or not.
Yeah. There's a realness to that. And it's funny because, you know, during COVID, the introverts were rejoicing and the extroverts were dying. And there needs to be a true balance and also understanding. Extroverts recharge around people most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say most of the time because there are some people that extroverts do not get recharged from. They drain extroverts. But then with introverts, it's like there is typically a need. And I loved how a friend of ours put it. And hello, Chris. Put it as like, you know, you just need solitude. It's not isolation. That's different, right? You need solitude and you need to literally distance yourself from all inputs. I mean, literally like your brain is just like, I can't take any more of this. It's like overstimulation and stuff like that. And so it's just like, you have to get away from every single person for a period of time. And if you can do that on a regular basis, then typically you'll be all right. But if you can't, then yeah, that's where you get to a point. So that's where I think like, somehow we've all got to learn the balance of, for example, my little story about Memorial Day. That was my extroverted recharge. But the last time that I had had a recharge quite like that was like, I don't even know, well over a year ago. I'm like, that's not enough. That's got to be on a regular basis, you know? And the same kind of thing with introverts is like to have that solitude type of recharge needs to happen on a regular basis without negatively affecting the family or the people or anything else, of course. Doses of that, I guess, on a weekly basis. Somehow it has to happen. And then miraculously it works out at that point, but we don't do that.
Used to be I could like hop in a bath after the kids were in bed, but these days, like my kids go to bed late. I go to bed late. They get it from me. Can't even be mad about it, but I mean, it can't be midnight and me hopping in a bath.
Yeah. Can you do a thing where it says, okay, this day from this time to this time, zero. I don't care if you're dying, just zero. Don't bother me, you know, kind of thing. Can you like schedule that out? Does that work?
I don't know. I might have to try something like that because I have noticed that, especially lately, which, you know, last week my parents were also on a, they were on a cruise. My parents cruise a lot and nice. They also helped me so much with the kids.
Cool.
And they were on a cruise. I was having to do a lot more work. So I was working really late too. And I wonder if that's definitely part of the problem. So before we got on here, you were talking about like working really late. And I was like, nope, I can't do that. Yeah. And I realized this past week, I genuinely can't do it anymore. So I would get up, get the kids out the door last week, sit down to work at the big job. There were some things that didn't get done before my parents went out of town. And my mom helps me a lot with my editing and stuff like that. And so I ended up having to do multiple shows last week. I wrote the show notes. I uploaded, I did all of the things and I had to do it for multiple shows. But to do that, I had to do it, you know, after I'd worked the big job and while the kids are home. So I was working till like 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, every night, Monday through Wednesday. And then Thursday, I finally got a break in that everything was done from like a show perspective, but my husband went out of town and he went on a fishing trip. And so I had all four kids Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Wow.
Sunday came and I legitimately was just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like I was a zombie, complete and utter zombie. But I've realized through all of that, I used to be the person who had the big job because I built my business while I had a big job. And I say big job because I have four kids. I need the insurance. I need, you know, the benefits. I need, there are a lot of good things to be said about the steady paycheck. And I really like the industry. It's an insurance and I actually really like insurance and people call me out on that all the time, but it is what it is. I like it.
Yeah, so that's cool.
I built my business having the big job. I had like multiple $5,000-$7,000 months in my business while working a full-time job, which means that I was working, and this is back when my rates were significantly lower. So I was working a lot. I was working 60, 70, 80 hour weeks. Didn't blink an eye. And this is with twin newborns, a four-year-old. How did I do it then? And I think I finally realized that it's just like where I'm at now is the cumulative effect of high school to to like young adulthood to like then having the kids to I've always worked and I've always done a bunch of stuff on the side of that. And then roll all that into becoming a mom. I think right now I'm finally feeling the cumulative effects of the last 20 years. Of my entire life.
And that's usually how it happens too. Cause like I was talking about the burnout last year and I was like, this is 15, 16 years in the making. When you actually look back, you're like, I've been burning out for a long period of time. And you start to go, I saw some warning signs, you know, 12 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. And I just totally ignored them. And, you know, I was younger and I had more energy and I'm thinking like, whatever, I'm good. And then eventually you just kind of go, okay, I'm not so good anymore. What's going on here? You know? But then you ignore it again, you know, you gotta be stoic and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy cow, this is not going well. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I think you get to a point and some people just push through it. But oh, well,
that's what I've been doing for years now is just pushing through it. And anytime like I had a break, the problem I'm having right now is that anytime I have a break, I literally can do nothing.
Yeah.
Like I'm a zombie, but then I also lose motivation to do things that I need to do, actually need to do. And so I'm like, which this is where procrastination comes in too, because I will put things off until the very last minute. I've always been this way, but it's gotten worse off to the very, very last minute. But I think we've talked about this too, where I can get so much done in an hour if I only have an hour.
Totally. This is one of my most favorite mantras for if you're taking a break and actually truly resting.
I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing. And it was everything that I thought it could be.
This is perfect. It's perfect.
I love that so much.
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for joining again. You know what the music means.
Yes, I love it here. This is the best place on the interwebs.
Well, thank you. I love having you here. I'm glad. It's fun. We're really, here we are. It's like, my gosh, it's almost an hour already and we got to go. So much fun. So much more to talk about.
We talked that long.
It's going to be fun. Thanks for joining us. Have a glorious week. Real Brian Show.
Shining off.
The Real Brian Show is a production of 514 Media at 514mediaempire.com.
You know, I really need to change that because it's actually not 514mediaempire.com anymore. Dang it! RealBrianMedia.com. Goodbye.